to the Who Dat Kiss podcast. Second time I've done that. Just kidding. It's the Bringwood podcast. It's your boy RK rocking with
JD.
I refuse to not say Who Dat Kiss because we just did it for so long that it's stuck in my brain and I miss it.
That's the OG. That's the OG, man.
That's the OG. Speaking of OGs, let's jump right into it. We got a couple OGs that are going to make this roster. Who are the OGs, the old guys, the veterans that you think are going to get cut from this roster and perhaps sneak onto our practice squad?
You're talking about guys that were on the roster last year that or just, won't find them on the roster this year?
Yeah, or just guys that are older. Like, you got John Bosick's one that sticks to mind. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that's a veteran, you know, 10th year in the NFL. So is he going to make our roster? We'll start with him. You think Bostic makes the roster?
Yeah, I think so. I think linebacker depth is at a all-time high right now, considering that our number two guy is probably going to be starting the year on IR, I'm assuming, with a groin. So hopefully John Bostic has that veteran depth we can kind of use for the first 4 to 6 weeks before Pete Werner feels like he's ready to come back and contribute the way he does. So John Bostic, I think you can mark him down as a 53 roster spot.
Yeah, he's one of the guys who are on the fringe for me, because you're obviously going to have DeMario. I do think Werner starts on IR. Caden Ellis is one of DA's guys, right? So we got DeMario, we got Caden Ellis. Werner, if he starts on IR, he still has to be on the roster, and then gets put on IR. So I think Bostic gets cut and then gets brought back when Werner goes on IR. I think we only start by keeping five. So the five are DeMario, and you're going to help me out here because I know I'll draw a blank. I got DeMario, I got Caden. I'm saying Bond's getting cut. Hansen's getting cut. Eric Wilson. Eric Wilson's the third. I got Nephi Sewell as the fourth. And Andrew Dowell is the fifth because he's the new Craig Robertson for us. So those are the five guys that I have them keeping on top of Werner, and then they'll put Werner on IR. So if they're going to bring a sixth guy back, I think they would bring back either Bond, Hansen, or Bostic, because they're going to choose one of those three guys to be the linebacker that's going to be there for depth until Werner gets back. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's tough to see, you know, I guess just because of the preseason performance we saw from Chase Hansen week one, but
he's injured and he just can't stay healthy. Like, this is a repeating theme from, you listen to anybody in the Saints media, you know, whether it be actual print or on podcasts or whatnot, the same thing gets said about Chase Hansen. He's a 29-year-old player. You know that, right? So he's 29 years old and he cannot stay healthy. So this isn't like a 1 or 2 year thing. Like, this is like a Marcus Davenport reoccurring issue, except he doesn't have the freak athletic ability of Marcus Davenport. So I don't know how much patience the Saints are going to show with a player like Chase Hansen in a situation like this, where it's not like he's head and shoulders above everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, that interception he got was actually Eric Wilson's play. Like, Eric Wilson was the one that made the play there, and he got the, you know, the punt interception that landed in his hands. So I do think that they're gonna expose those three guys. I think Zach Bond, I think he's gonna get picked up by another team, just hoping that with his draft pedigree, he's gonna turn into something. But I'm hoping that those three guys get exposed, and then we have our choice to bring at least two of them back, one to the practice squad and then one to the active roster when they put Werner on IR. So what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, that makes sense. I for some reason I thought Chase Hansen was not 29.
Yeah, he's 29.
I didn't know he was. Yeah, that's crazy.
He's a BYU kid, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, I guess they kind of stay in school late or whatever, but that's
interesting.
They
go on their mission, two-year mission, right? A couple years in the NFL, getting out at 24, two-year mission, 26, and then 3 years in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. Yeah, that's crazy to me, though. But I guess, yeah, that all checks out.
I think for cornerback, there's not much to say. I think Vincent Gray and DeMarcus Fields, those guys are going to the practice squad. Automatic cuts shouldn't be an issue. We keep Alante. Yeah, and the thing with it says that we only keep four cornerbacks, but we know PJ Williams in a pinch can play corner, probably on the weak side, and in the nickel, and then we got CeeDee Deuce as well. And Ty Matthew, we like, don't be confused. Like Honey Badger can play on the outside if we absolutely need him to. You know what I mean? And he might prefer to sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So with the secondary, I think the only thing that's interesting about the secondary is the safeties. I don't think they're going to cut any of the safeties that are on the roster. I think all seven make it. I've heard a rumor, and I won't put the person's name on blast because they didn't talk to me about it. I just heard via something that they tweeted and then deleted. Sorensen is a lock. Sorensen's been told he's going to make this team. So I don't know how and why. He's a 32-year-old veteran that's kind of like a journeyman now, right? So I don't know if that's for just special teams leadership and depth, keep guys on task, you know, because there's going to be a lot of young guys on special teams this year, a lot, you know what I mean? And then just kind of add that development there. And then if all hell breaks loose and we are in dire straits, he could play safety for us as well, you know, if we go down that list. But
And obviously, the Saints are high on him. If that was their first free agency move, was getting Sorensen into the building, right? That was the first thing that we did.
Yeah.
On that day. So priority number one was obviously Tyran, but Tyran took his time. So he was, you know, the second best number one at that point, right? So
yeah.
I guess it makes sense that they want to kind of keep the guy that they put their faith into when they had the whole plethora of options available to them at that time, right? So
yeah. Okay, yeah, so
that's interesting.
So safety, we agree. Special teams, no need to talk about it. It's Gillikin, Wood, and Big Nuts Lutz. Defensive tackle, Huggins is going to go on season-ending IR, I think. So he's not going to count towards the roster. The kid that we drafted, Jackson, DT, I don't see a road where he makes the roster. So they're going to have to try and cut him, expose him to waivers, and then see if they can put him on the practice squad. Because it's going to be Roach, Tuttle, Onyemata, and Kentavious Street. Those are the four guys.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's thin, doesn't it?
It does a little bit, but...
But Tano can also play inside too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Tano can play inside. So, speaking of Tano, defensive end. You're going to have to refresh my memory because I don't got this in front of me here. We got Cam. We got Granderson. We got Tano. We've got Davenport.
Yeah.
We've got Peyton Turner. And who's the sixth?
Taco Charlton,
yeah. I think if we expose Taco, I think he's going to get picked up.
100%.
So there's got to be a way that, there's got to be a way that we can keep Taco on the initial 53.
Did you see him blow up that left tackle?
I watched the game over. We're going to jump into that game, and he's one of my stars of the game. Yeah. Because he might be one of the only guys in the last two Saints games that has been able to get pressure on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or get into the backfield and cause chaos in the backfield.
Yeah.
So I don't think they can expose him. First round pedigree, right? He was a first rounder?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, first round pedigree, and he's finally coming into his own. What is he, in his fifth year? Fourth year?
I'll check right now.
He's around there, you know what I mean? So he's probably trying to figure it out now, and we know defensive linemen come to New Orleans and they become good. That's what happens.
Year five.
Yeah. I think they cut the kid Lalos and put him on the practice squad. They like what he's been doing in practice, but I didn't see him in the game. I didn't notice him at all.
No, not at all.
Okay, let's jump to the offense. Tight end. How many tight ends would you say are going to make the team? If you had to guess.
Got to be three, right?
I think three as well. Vinette's gone, right?
Yeah, I guess he would be... he looks pretty robotic out there, but...
He's an inline guy. And, you know, the whole Sean saying, he can do more. He can do more than just block. Sean was lying out his ass. It would be interesting to see if the Saints could pair something in a trade to Miami for Gesicki. So we send Vinette and, a fifth rounder to Miami for Gesicki.
Yeah, that'd be
nice. Because it helps us both. Miami gets an extra pick to get some draft equity, and then we get Gesicki, which is you're dying over there. It's all good. Yeah. We get Gesicki, who's a Joker type tight end. I guess he's a glorified receiver, you know what I mean? But we bring him in as another pass catcher for us. I just don't know if they want to spend the money on another pass catcher. There's a lot of money tied into there right now, but I've got I've got Vanette getting cut. I've got Lucas Kroll getting cut. I've got J.P. Holtz getting cut. And I've got the three, Juwan Johnson, Taysom Hill, and Troutman, all making the roster. And I think that's pretty... I guess there's a lot of people arguing that Vanette might make it as a fourth, but I think if you want to keep Taco Charlton, which I think has a bigger effect on our roster, then I think you have to cut Vanette. You know what I mean? Like, it's give and take. If you have to choose between Taco Charlton or Vanette, I think you take Taco Charlton. I think he has a bigger effect on our team. So,
100%,
Wide receivers. This one's super debatable. Nobody has... I think this is the biggest question mark for the Saints. Nobody has a clue. They kind of made it... They've kind of made it easier to understand running back, but what about wide receiver? What are your thoughts on wide receiver?
I think Kirk Merritt has given himself a really good chance to make this roster.
Don't sit on the fence. Make a decision.
Kirk Merritt's our sixth. I think Traquan is going to be a casualty here.
Do you think they try... If he doesn't get picked up, do they put him on IR to return? And then that gives him freedom that I have a guy in the system? Or do you think he gets picked up? Yeah, I
guess that would give us two then, like Kwon Baker and him, in case we do suffer some injuries down the road in October. Then those two can return and kind of like still be, you know, within the system and fluid and all that. So, I think Traquan's not on the 53 to start the year off.
I agree.
And then our fourth and fifth, obviously, Deontay Hardy and Marquez Callaway.
There's some growing sentiment amongst people, especially on Saints Twitter, and I don't know how many people are legit, but there's some check marks actually co-signing some of this and saying some of these things, but they think that Deontay Hardy could be traded. And I just don't see how, if we're in win now mode, how trading him helps us. You know what I mean? Like that would net us at the best a third round pick if a team is desperate for a returner. Unless they see enough for Rashid Shaheed to be a surprise make on the roster, and they're like, he can be the return guy, and like he provides us the same thing that Deontay Hardy could provide, because I think Chris Olave is going to run a lot of the same routes that Deontay Hardy would run as a wide receiver. Like, and he can probably just do it with the same type of speed, right?
And he's got more natural receiver ability too, right?
Like, I wouldn't say that anymore, because you and I both agreed that last year Deontay Hardy, when he was healthy, was our best receiver, and it wasn't close. You remember that Tampa Bay game? He was a problem. He was running routes. He's gotten a lot better as a wide receiver. I know what you're saying. Olave is a more not like he's done that his whole life, but I think that we're selling Deontay Hardy a little bit short. I think in the right circumstance where people focus on him, he could be, you know, a really good wide receiver at his diminutive size. You know, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that situation. But I think we all have, you know, our major four, which is Hardy, Olave, Thomas, and Landry. And then we can argue Callaway's done enough to be number five. And then I agree with you. I think it's Merritt as six, because I think he also doubles back as he can do some stuff out of the backfield for the running backs. So, Traquan.
Wasn't he taking snaps in the backfield?
He did it for an entire two practices. I think he was in the backfield quite a bit. So
yeah, that's interesting.
So we get Dixon and Shaheed both getting cut. Hopefully neither of them get picked up. We put them on the practice squad.
I feel like Rashid Shaheed has the resume from college with his kick return ability that
he might get snagged.
Someone might take a little sniff and see
We'll see. I hope they both make it through. Adam Prentice is a question mark for me. I know a lot of people have him like cemented in already as a roster spot, but I don't know. You and I both talked about Pete Carmichael maybe being the brains behind this offense the entire time that Sean was here, and perhaps, you know what I mean? Sean got a lot of the credit for a lot of Pete Carmichael's creativity, and that Carmichael actually might be a little bit more aggressive than Sean. If that's the case, the necessity of slowing it down and, you know, punishing with a fullback might not be necessary. It might be spread them out. You know, let's be athletic and get Alvin and Mark and those guys in space. So then do we need a fullback, really? Do you know what I mean? Because Adam Prentice is not a good pass-catching fullback.
No.
He dropped two in the preseason that I saw, and he just doesn't look like he's a natural, you know what I mean? Doesn't look like a natural pass catcher. So,
and if you really wanted to, and get creative, and I know Pete can get creative, like Mark Ingram could line up as a fullback if we really needed a fullback in a situation, you know what I mean? Like if he was lined up in front of AK, and they were on the field together, then that would, you know, cause some confusion among the defense. But also, like, if all you need is the body in front of someone to create more space, like, Mark Ingram can be that guy for the amount of times that we would use it otherwise.
To double back on what you're saying here, so can Dwayne Washington. If we're looking for reasons to get Dwayne Washington onto the field and get him snaps on offense versus special teams, you know what I mean? Maybe not putting Mark there because he's a little bit older, more susceptible to injury. Maybe putting Dwayne Washington there. You know, he's a bigger back. And not Tony Jones. Like, it doesn't hurt to put those guys there and be like, listen, you're lead blocking in this situation. We need to do that. And like you said, that does provide a sense of pause for the defense being like, why do they have both those guys back there?
Yeah.
It sends them different cues. So I like that. Yeah, I have nothing to base this on other than my own opinion. I think they cut Prentice to keep that roster spot. He'll get picked up by one of the five teams that carry a fullback. And that'll be the end of that chapter. Ian Book, quarterback, cut.
I think no one's going to be picking that up if they see him on the wire.
I disagree. I think there was four teams that tried to trade for him. I think someone's going to pick him up and say he got a rough deal in New Orleans. They're going to make an excuse for him. There's going to be some teams. Because he played well enough in that last game, I thought.
Yeah, I guess his mobility is an asset for sure. But if that was the case, we could probably find somebody else on the wire, though, that we could get to our practice squad that could do similar, if not better, at the same position for what we need it for, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not like us. He won't be the best quarterback on the waiver wire.
No, I agree. He's not gonna make or break our season. But it just sucks that we invested a draft pick into him, and this is what we get out of it. You know, it's kind of irritating.
Wasn't it third? Was it a third round?
A third or fourth round pick? I can't remember. But Sean, they just lit that pick on fire. Offensive line. So here's the question mark, because the severity of Penning's injury, it couldn't have come at a worse time. You know what I mean? Like, if this injury would have came in week one of the preseason, then we would have had a better idea of whether or not is he going to be able to play this season or is he not. Like, they're saying a couple months. At this point, is it even worth it bringing him back if he's only going to be able to come back in, like, December? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that provides them with much. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's that advantageous to bring him back versus giving another guy, you know, time on the field to grow, and then just bring him back when he's fully healthy for next year. What I'm getting at is Lewis Kidd. I think he has an opportunity to really do something, and then we got Landon Young from last year who showed, you know, spurts of solid play is what I'll say. I'm not going to say anything great. So. Do we just put Penning on IR? Do they just put Penning on IR, and then just try to bring in, like, just try and grow those other guys?
If we put him on IR before the roster,
he's done for the year.
He can't come back. So I feel like they won't do that, only because when you look ahead to December, we have a game in Cleveland and Philly, and the run game needs to be, like, showcased to win those games, I think.
Yeah.
And he is a mauler in the run game. So even if we shelf him till, you know, December and bring him back just for the sake of those two games, that's a huge advantage for the run game that we have to establish out in the cold weather in those critical moments of December where, you know, playoff spots are won or lost, or divisions are won or lost, or whatever the case might be at that point in the year, right? So Trevor Penning is like he's a December football kind of guy, outdoors, you know, like he's going to be that guy who nobody really wants to try and get past to get to the running back or even to the quarterback, because you have to work so hard to get past him probably, right? So
but do you think,
I feel like
my question for you on that one, Justin, is, and I want you to finish your thought, but I don't want to forget this. Is he going to be up to speed? You remember, he's a rookie. He hasn't been playing football. He hasn't, you know what I mean? He hasn't been practicing, and he's coming off that injury. Is he going to be ready to play football at that level in December?
I feel like that nastiness isn't forgotten, though. That's grit, right? It's what we've seen all camp. Every preseason game, we've talked about him. It's like, in the run, he's a monster. In the pass pro, he's got some work to do. So I feel like that's like his innate ability. You know how everyone's got like one superpower? That's probably his, where the run game, you know, clearing lanes, being a, you know, a bulldozer, whatever you want to call it, like he's got that built into his system, and I feel like that will serve him well in December, no matter, you know, time off that he's had or development he's missed or whatever the case is. I think that's always going to be there for him, and I think the only thing that's going to be the downside to him being gone for the first 3 months of the season is that he won't get the reps to pass pro, which is equally as important, but also maybe not like
That
in
important
those
that
two
late.
particular games, his absolute necessity.
Yeah, and like to that point, those two games either could be completely meaningless, you know what I mean? Or absolutely dire for our team. Like we get off to a good start this year. Those games could really mean nothing, but at the end of the year, they could mean everything if there's another team in the NFC that's winning at the same clip as us.
Especially because
Because
they're back to back too, right? And
like our
that's hard.
roster, yeah, I'm looking at our roster and I'm like, 13 wins just seems like the number. Like I feel like we get to 13-4. I can't see more than 4 losses. I think we sweep the division, which is always tough to do, but I think we sweep the division. And I can't see more than 4 of those losses. You know what I mean? Like starting off the season 6-0 is not out of the realm of possibility here. So, yeah. So here's the problem. By keeping all the what you just said is, I agree. By having him eligible to return, but then we're exposing guys that have gotten pretty good tape here in preseason to waivers. A guy like Lewis Kidd. You know, that hurts us. You know, because there's only so many guys we can keep, and keeping Penning would mean that we would only be able to keep 8 other linemen. You know, and then hopefully get one of those other guys back. Like getting Andrews or Schweiger back, I don't think that really moves the needle for us. But we've got about 4 or 5 guys that are going to be going to IR. It's just going to be interesting when they put them on IR. You know, I think Huggins is IR for the year. I personally think that putting Penning on IR for the year is the right decision. I don't think rushing a rookie left tackle back is the best idea. I think that's bad for business. And then Werner would be short-term IR, and I think Tre'Quan Smith would be short-term IR as well. And then Baker suspended, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Out of all those guys we just talked about, which of those guys stood out for you in the last two games? Because we didn't get to do a pod for the second game there. But what were your thoughts on the two games and who stood out to you?
In terms of the O-line that we were
Just no,
watching.
just in general, like players. You're like, you know what? In those games, this player stood out for me. I'm excited to see them, you know, suit up for the black and gold this season.
Yeah, Justin Evans for sure. Everywhere in the field, all the time.
Lays the
And
boom.
laying the hammer down, like not too many guys, you know, except for the ones who are really, really fighting for a job or a career. Like I think he knows he's on the roster, and guys like that around the league don't, who know they're on the roster, don't like lay it all out there in these games. Like they get out there, get their reps in, get some good game film, like you know that they're in the right place, right time, doing their job. But if there's an opportunity to get to hit somebody, like you can get just as hurt as a person that you want to try and hit, right? So he is everywhere all the time, and he is blowing people up, and he's causing turnovers in back-to-back games, interception in one, forcing a fumble and a punch out, aka peanut in another one, you know, like just balling out
And
and it looks so good.
he looks like he has a lot of swag on the field. Like he doesn't look like he's just trying. He actually looks like this is what he does. You know what
Yeah,
I mean?
and
So
that bodes well for the culture of the DB room that he's in too, right? Like our DB room is easily the like
the swaggiest. It
what
is the swaggiest. It
yeah
is the
sure.
swaggiest of swag.
And he just flows right into that without even thinking about it, almost seamlessly. So hit on the defensive side, definitely Justin Evans. And then on the offensive side,
I think Kirk Merritt was
yeah,
pretty
I was gonna
phenomenal.
say Kirk Merritt was definitely something that caught my eye a lot.
He caught a couple bad passes. Like, there was a pass that was behind him, and he found a way to reel it in, and, you know, there was a defender all over his back. And I thought to myself, that's an NFL catch right there. You know, you bail your quarterback out. You're showing that you've got, you know, the concentration to make that play, especially after people were knocking him for not being able to make the catch, the diving catch previously. So, in one of those other games. So I do think it's interesting. He's made their job so hard. Because they know if they expose him, he's getting picked up. It just seems like that would be a guy that, like, Atlanta would pick up. You know what I mean? Like, he'd just be or like Philadelphia. So,
and I don't know, I didn't look back on it, but the route where Ian Book missed him in the corner.
he was wide open.
I don't, like, did he get himself that open, or was it like a defensive collapse? It was
offensive pick.
That's right.
Offensive pick downfield.
But then he got the score anyways, and he's gritting in the end zone like that. You know, that just when dudes are just, when they got it, like, they got it, right? Yeah,
you can't explain it, man. Yeah, you can't explain that. It's just you can't teach certain things, right?
Yeah,
it's either you got it or you don't.
And Abram Smith in the passing game, and you know, his small batch of duty, like, hard to let him go too, but, you know, it's just a matter of numbers.
Well, Tony Jones is just better in pass pro. I think that's what it boils down to, because if they're going to have somebody, they need someone to be able to protect Jameis. And Tony Jones has done a pretty good job, considering that wasn't his, you know, that wasn't his forte. He's done well in pass pro this year. Do you think we bring in another running back? Because you and I talked about this, and I'm from the train of thought that I do think we bring somebody in, but what do you think?
It's tough to, like,
there's guys out there, man. There's going to be some names out there that you recognize from fantasy.
Yeah, you and I talked yesterday about Miles Gaskin being an option, which would be... Yeah.
Kenyon Drake is still out there, too.
Yeah. Miles Gaskin, in his limited time where he was, like, featured in Miami's offense last year, was definitely noticeable on screen at all times. Like, I had him on fantasy, and I was watching games just to kind of watch what he was doing. And, like, I'm not going to, you know, make a crazy comparison, but, like, he could fill an AK light role if need be in certain game situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pass catching, just kind of shifty, you know, like, runs well, good balance. I like Miles Gaskin, and we've talked about him a couple times throughout the summer, but I think running back, if a guy like that became available and he was willing to, like, take on special teams and stuff like that, I think Dwayne Washington could take a seat at that point for Miles Gaskin.
What about a guy like D'Ernest Johnson or Kareem Hunt, if one of those guys were to get released? Philip Lindsay could get released from Indy. You know, like, there's some names up there of guys that we're not thinking about, but Justin Jackson, who I was big on when he was with the Chargers, I think he just hasn't had the right situation. I think the Saints, and he actually played really good against the Saints. I think having him in the building, he fits that role. He's an aggressive, physical runner. You know what I mean? Kind of in the Mark Ingram role.
With D'Ernest Johnson, didn't we have him on our roster at some point?
Yeah, we did. He's a UDFA guy. So, it'll be...
That guy ran well for those two games last year when he was the featured back.
And San Francisco's got, like, 9 backs, and most of them are good. They're not big-name guys. They got a guy, Jordan Mason, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good. They got Jermichael Hasty, Ty Davis Price, Jeff Wilson, and Elijah Mitchell. They're only going to keep 4 of those guys, so...
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be some backs that get released. It's just whether or not the Saints want to fit that guy into our system. There was talks today that the Vikings are trying to trade Alexander Mattison.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know that he doesn't want to go from a backup role to a backup role. So that's obviously a non-starter. But it's interesting that they're putting him on the block.
Yeah, that's interesting, because he does a good job filling in for Dalvin Cook when he leaves. Like, same style of runner, right? So
yeah. So we've talked about players individually. Let's get off that now. Let's just talk about the team. The most exciting part of this, and you and I are both like small children jumping up and down in our living rooms, going nuts, yelling at the TV, Jameis Winston looked real. There was reports that Jameis Winston was in the facility, in his gear, shoulder pads, everything, 3 hours prior to the game. This guy was excited to play football. You still haven't sent me that link of him clowning during DeMario Davis' speech. You got to send me that.
Can't miss that to you right now.
I got to see it. It was really interesting to watch that first drive and to see the passes that he made. They were on time. To watch our guys make the catch. And like you said, the minute that they see a defender, they're sliding down to the ground and they're trying to draw penalties. Because if you hit them after the fact, you're going to get a flag because they've given themselves up. So like you said, that could be Cody Burns just coaching these guys up just to be intelligent. And also, you know, the longevity of these guys that are not taking big hits. There's a lot,
so they can get that. Sorry, one sec. Oh man. So they can get that extra 15 yards when defenders are expecting them to stay up and then they get down. So if that is the coaching, how many penalties are we going to see on the defense, like on the opposing defenses this year for 15 yards on top of the reception that the receiver just made? Over under 6.5.
Oh, I got the over. I was gonna say 9. I was gonna say just a little bit more than half the season. I think we'd get one in every second game if they're being coached up that way, especially early, right?
Yeah.
So, here's another one. I just read this, and this just got released a couple minutes ago. Miles Sanders, no practice again. He's not injured. So. Are they trying to trade this guy?
That's interesting.
He seems like the odd man out there.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you this. We sent Tony Jones and a third round pick to the Eagles for Miles Sanders. I'm in. Miles Sanders, Miles Sanders, Mark Ingram, and Alvin Kamara. Kamara, sorry.
Yeah, that would be...
That's serious.
Yeah, that's a trio.
That's a trio. Anyways, I'm dreaming over here. I heard a trade possibility as well. Because the Saints are banged up at linebacker and Chicago has no wide receivers, Marquez Callaway he's gotten 700 yards in the NFL in a season before. He's proven. Sending Marquez Callaway and like a fourth round pick to the Bears for Roquan Smith and just saying, hey, listen, Roquan, we're not paying you this year. Ball out, let's win a Super Bowl, and then we'll worry about your contract next year. Because Super Bowl all of a sudden makes it that you have so much more money. It always does. You know what I mean? GMs are more liberal with the spending after a Super Bowl because they got a little bit more wiggle room to make mistakes because they just won, i.e. the Los Angeles Rams. And us, actually, after 09. But it would be interesting to see if we actually did try to pair, you know, Callaway and a pick to get Roquan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I would hate to lose Marquez Callaway. I like him. I like his demeanor. I like the way he plays.
Me too. I like Roquan more.
Yeah.
Roquan and DeMario is like, that's, and then you get Werner in there sometimes, and you're talking about maybe the three best linebackers we've ever had, talent-wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that's, it's tough to lose, but it's nice to gain, right? Like, it's, those things for sure.
Yeah, and you have to understand the cap is going to be going up next year.
And Marquez is going to his fourth year next year.
Yeah, he's on a cheap deal because he re-signed, right? So. So what are your thoughts? I'm looking at the schedule right now. I got the schedule in front of me. What are your thoughts on this year, my man? Because now that we know what teams got, you want to go game by game, and then we'll come up with a prediction as to what we got for wins and losses. And then we'll call it a day.
Well, I think last time we went through the games, right? Game by game.
Yeah, we did it before preseason.
And So I feel like.
I think we got to 12.
Not much would change in my thinking, and I had the Saints at a surprising 14-3. But maybe after seeing that offense humming on the first drive of the game, 14-3 is not that surprising anymore.
Okay, well, don't give it too much thought. Just give it a little bit of thought based on what you've seen from other teams in preseason, what you saw from our guys. Okay, at Atlanta, week one, what do you got?
W all over the place.
Okay, at home opener against Tampa Bay.
We're gonna decimate that O line.
Okay, at Carolina. At Carolina.
W 3-0 in the division to start.
3-0 in the division. Okay, we go across the pond, London, 9:30 a.m. start.
Tight one, but a win.
Okay, we come back home. It's going to seem like a short week because of the travel. We play the Bengals at home, though, so that short week is kind of amplified into excitement. A lot of adrenaline going. Jamar Chase, Joey Burrow back in the building. 1 o'clock start. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
We missed Seattle there, no?
Oh, sorry, I missed Seattle. I'm so excited for the Cincinnati game. My bad. I know. So we're back playing Seattle. That's kind of a letdown. Yeah. Geno Smith.
Yeah. I know, and I hope to God that nothing goes weird in that game, but I can't see it happening after being 4-0, so okay, W.
5-0. People around the media, around the world are talking New Orleans now, aren't they? Everybody's talking New Orleans. Possible Super Bowl contenders. We get the Super Bowl runner-up, Cincinnati Bengals. I just talked about all that excitement that's going to be in the building. What do you got?
It's going to be a close one, but I was torn last time on this game, too. I think we might drop this one just because of the fact.
You got Von Bell coming back, Trey Hendrickson coming back, Eli Apple coming back, Joey Burrow coming back. You got Jamar Chase coming back. It's going to be Thaddeus Moss playing tight end there. Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Just so you know, on my schedule, I'm 6-0 right now because I have us winning that game. That's just too much for us not to win that game. And then we go 4 days rest. We go to Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins back, primetime Thursday night football. What do you got?
That one, I think we're going to win.
Okay. See, I got that as a loss. So now, after the our first 7 games, we got the same record. I got us at 6-1. You got us at 6-1. I just think that that's tough. All that travel, you come back, it's like a short week. Then you have this gigantic game you're all hyped up for. You go on the road to play Arizona. What's the emphasis on playing Arizona? They're going to be a 3-3 team at the time. You know what I mean? I just don't think it's going to be... It's going to be hard to get up for that game. And I think that we're just on short week. Guys are going to be banged up. And it's going to be a wrap. Oh. Then we got home. We got Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is always tough. They beat us, what, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, Darren Waller went off on us, right? And now they have Devontae Adams. But I know that Marshawn gets up for those games. So if we can mitigate Devontae, we win that game, and now it's 7-1.
Okay, so then after that, oh, you're dying over there.
Yeah.
And I think the Vegas, man. I think that Vegas team is getting a little bit overhyped for what they're gonna actually produce. But I agree. As Justin's dying over there, I'm gonna tell you about the Baltimore Ravens. We get Baltimore Ravens primetime in Louisiana. I think this is the hardest game on the schedule. I have this circled as a potential Super Bowl rematch. I think Baltimore is going to be a team on fire this year. Their defense is unbelievably mean and talented. If they stay healthy on defense, they arguably are the best defense in the NFL. You know, that's with us being there as well. I think they've got. I think they're a little meaner than us, especially in the trenches. They've got like beasts inside. So, I have this actually as a loss. Because I think we win the rematch in the Super Bowl. Spoiler alert. that's who I have in the Super Bowl. So who do you have for the Baltimore game?
I feel like because we would have dropped our Cincinnati game, our last home game. No, because we had the Raiders come home too, though. So I feel like the one loss in the Dome is going to be our only loss of the year against Cincinnati. So I'm going Baltimore for the we're going to take the W on Monday Night Football.
Cold weather game, November 13th. We're at Pittsburgh. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, a la the Boston or a la the Buffalo Bills game where we ran it 23 times in a row. Do you see something like that in this game?
That could be the play there if the snow comes early for sure. Whoever's quarterbacking in Pittsburgh, like Kenny Pickett, looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. Trubisky, I feel like we can turn him over a few times. But can't get a pick six on the guy, though. That's the word on the street, right? No pick sixes in his whole career. But I feel like we'll turn him over a few times, and we'll take that win. It'll be close, though. Like a Will Lutz field goal, which is hard to do in Pittsburgh. But to walk it off, I think Will Lutz will carry us home for the win.
I think we're missing something really important in that game. Actually, I'll be honest. I think you're missing something really important in that game. Our defense is going to make them. That's just going to stymie them. They're not going to have an opportunity to score. That's just my opinion. I don't think they'll be able to score on us. Their roster is just... it's just not good. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not good on offense. Their offensive line is a sieve. I think we get after the quarterback and we win that game. It's an ugly game. You know, like a 20-16 type game, but whatever. Just still win nonetheless. Then we go back home. We play the Rams. The first time the Rams are back in the Dome since 2018. I'm not even going to let you answer. Don't say a word. It's a win. It has to be a win. That there's if you look at our entire schedule, other than the Bucks in week two, this game means the most to Saints fans. Like to that group of people that are going to be in the Dome, this is everything. They have to just get exercise those demons. If we lost this game on another bad call by the officials, A, that's amazing for the NFL because they're just going to be in the news again forever, but it just would be devastating.
Yeah.
So I think that's a win. No,
I feel you on that for sure.
What do you think about week 12? We go to San Francisco.
Oof, that's a tough spot. If our run defense is the same style of like shut it down defense that we're accustomed to, I feel like we can handle Shanahan's offensive scheme, and I think we'll win that.
Okay. Then we got at Tampa Bay. By this point, I think Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert will be starting.
Yeah.
I think that'll be how that goes because the Bucks will be bad.
Easy dub.
Easy dub, yeah. And then we get Atlanta in the Dome.
Oh, man. Revenge from last year because they beat us at home last year, which is atrocious.
Yeah. Okay. Then we're coming off the bye week at Atlanta. Then we go for our two hard games in the cold on the road. Christmas Eve, we go to Cleveland. What say you? Deshaun Watson will be back at that point.
I feel like that cold weather game is going to be a weird one. Power running game that they run. I think I took it as a loss last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I only have one loss so far on the record. So I think it's a loss for us there too.
Okay. And then we go to Philly. New Year's Day.
Coming off a loss. We're gonna lose that one as well. Oof. But we'll save the dub for the playoffs in the NFC Championship game, I think.
Okay. And then Carolina, last game of the year.
Yeah, close it out 14-3. The game might be meaningless at that point. If we're already, 13-3, it might have locked up the number one seed, but I still feel like our backups can still beat Carolina, so 14-3.
Fair enough. So you had us at 14-3. The games that I had different than you, I had Arizona as a loss, I had Baltimore as a loss, I had San Fran as a loss. I think that's gonna be they're gonna need that to save their playoff lives. And then I think we lose one of the games between Cleveland and Philly. Probably Cleveland, to be honest with you. I think Philly is a game that these guys are gonna get up for. I think we've lost three straight games at the link. So I don't think these guys want to go back to Philly, no matter what the weather is, and lose another one, especially on New Year's Day. New Year's resolution, be a better you. I think that might be a message in the locker room for these guys to get ready.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, predictions. We're gonna do an Atlanta prediction podcast, and we'll obviously discuss after Tuesday what happens with the roster. I think it's gonna be. I don't foresee a whole lot of like, wow, I can't believe they did that moments. But this is the Saints, right? And they'll definitely hurt your feelings. Yeah, they'll definitely hurt your feelings from time to time by cutting a guy that you never thought they would cut. And bring in another guy in. The last thing is we talked about D tackle before. And we'll get out here on this. at D tackle, Malcolm Roach is a little bit banged up, but he's our fourth guy between Street, Onyemata, and Shai. Do we need to bring another guy in, or do we possibly cut Roach and bring in Sue? Because there's been a lot of rumors.
It's a possibility, like that. The energy Roach is showing so far has been it's been unmatched by many DTs in the field. So it's tough to cut an energy guy for sure. But if Sue is out there and he's, you know, hoping to come to a contender, then this is probably a spot to come to. But I'm sure he would love to eat against Tampa Bay in that O line that is no longer functional anymore, right? Like, he's gonna love to put Tom Brady on his ass.
Yeah. Well, man, you're over there dying. I want to get you some rest. You get some tea inside you. Get a hot toddy. You know what I mean? Drink a little bourbon. Make your throat feel better. And then we'll get back on here and we'll talk more Saints sooner than later. Sounds good?
Sounds good, my man.
All right, to all the people out there, life is beautiful. Life is gravy. Keep your head up. Enjoy it. We are less than 10 days away from Saints football. I am so excited. I'm shaking. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Other than that, who dat? God bless. I'll see y'all later. Who dat?
Who dat, buddy? Who dat?
All right, all right.